get your Bibles out and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I announced the title of the sermon for tonight. I announced it this morning. It's called Having a Winner's Attitude. Basically, this sermon is about having a passion to succeed. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And once you find 2 Samuel 23, I want you to find verse number 10 and then stand with me if you would please. 2 Samuel 23, starting with verse number 10. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says, "He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave into the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. After him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Heherite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." If you'll look back at me. Folks, I think that we ought to want to have victory at church. I think we ought to want to have victory at work. I think we ought to want to have victory in life. If you're building a business, I'd set my sights on victory for your business. Every project that you take on, you ought to want victory in the project. If you have a ministry, you ought to want victory in that ministry. I think you should have a passion for success. And might I put this in here? Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about a passion for success and having a winner's attitude. We have a handful of young people that are being homeschooled in here. Young people, can I tell you something? You have got to develop a passion to succeed. And I think sometimes at a school or at a Christian school, there's programs, there's sports programs and things like that that pull a little energy out of people. If you don't have access to that type of thing, you better figure out somewhere to get the drive, the energy, and the tenacity that it takes to succeed. Because if you don't get that, this whole world will chew you up and spit you out, and you will not conquer, but you will be conquered. And I don't want that for you. Well, let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, bless us tonight. Give me the attention of the people. I'll give you mine. God, you know I enjoy teaching this type or preaching this type of a sermon. Take it and use it, and help somebody to come out of their grogginess in life and to get a passion for success, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. What we just read from 2 Samuel 23, it's the story of some of David. Now listen, it's the story of some of David's mighty men. There's a man here by the name of Eleazar, and he's one of David's top dogs, one of his mighty captains. And Eleazar faces a battle with the Philistines. There were only three men to fight an entire Philistine army. And what ends up happening is Eleazar fought for a victory. And he fought so hard, there is a famous statement made about him. He wrapped his hand around his sword and he fought from sun up to sundown, fought for his life, fought for victory. And it is said of him at the end of the day, he found victory, but it said his hand clave to the sword. Now, just so you all know, that is not a passive approach to the project. Somebody wanted victory. And then God calls it in verse number 10, not just a victory. He calls it a great victory. There's another man mentioned here. His name is Shema. The Israelites had a field of lentils. The Philistine army came and scared everybody away. And God's people needed they needed the lentils. They needed the food. Shema stood in the middle of a field and fought a whole troop of the Philistines and had victory. And God calls it in verse number 12, a great victory. Now believe me, Eleazar and Shema, they won because they wanted to win. They wanted victory. And folks, I think God wants you and I as Christians to be victorious. I think He wants us to be winners. Now, I understand the importance of participation, but I got to tell you something. To win, you got to participate. So that's a part of the process. But you know, what they're wanting to do today, very much so in our socialistic thinking that's developing in our country, is that they're to the point where they don't want to reward people for winning anymore. They just want to reward people for participating. And I have to tell you, I have issue with that. And that won't work in our country. Our country will not succeed with that type of a philosophy. Did you know something? I'm not going to do a Bible study on it, but I do want to tell you this. The Bible teaches there are about five or six crowns that God gives to Christians for victories in their life. And one day we'll go to heaven, and some will get crowns and some will not. But when we get to heaven, we will be given crowns for certain victories, and we're going to cast those at Jesus' feet. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that they'll be casting participation certificates at His feet. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to have victory. Hey, did you know God's a winner? Never lost a thing. God's never lost. Psalm 98:1 says, His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. God helps us to achieve victory. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." God honors those who had victory over the beast in Revelation chapter 15, verse number 2. In 1 John 5:4, we're told that we can overcome or have victory over the world. And it says, "And this victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're going to have less and less Christians have victory in their Christian life as our society more and more downplays victory and talks about just participate. You're to have victory in your Christian life. You're to be striving to succeed. You're to strive for victory. I fear that many people are developing a weak attitude about succeeding in the Christian life. You ought to want to win. Hey, I love the song "Victory in Jesus." And that song says something to me. That song pulls something out of me. I'll tell you, when you sing that song, you ought to sing it like you mean it. Sing like you want victory in Jesus. There's the word victory. It's found throughout the Bible. The word conquer or conqueror. It's found throughout the Bible. You understand, if someone conquered another, that means they had victory. There's another word in the Old Testament. It's discomfited. And that word means there was a victory. It says in Exodus 17, verse number 13, "And Joshua discomfited Amalek." And then in Joshua 10:10, it says, "And the Lord discomfited him." It means that there was victory. Now, I would like to experience the victories in my life that God wants me to experience. I want to win at right things. I think that if you're going to do that, you have to have the right attitude about it. I don't want to merely exist in my Christian life. I want to win in my Christian life. And since you and I know, scripturally, the Bible teaches the one that is our opponent is the devil. And God knows God doesn't want you to be passive with your challenge with the devil. No, He wants you to win. Now, so you know, victory doesn't just come. You have to go after it. You have to apply yourself. There are some lessons that you must learn about victory. Now, I've got a lot of things I'm going to say. I'm going to say them quickly. I would like to take every point of my sermon and spend a whole night just on that one point, but I can't. And you're not going to believe it, but there are 18 points in this sermon. Look right this way. Don't let anything disturb you. You look right here at me. Listen, there's some wrong attitudes about winning. I think it's a wrong attitude when we say, "I'm going to win at any cost." I don't believe that. I don't think that's the right attitude about winning. I don't think you're to win at any cost. I don't think you're to cheat to win. I don't think you're to lie to win. I don't think that you have to be mean or rude or abusive to people to win. I think we ought to do right at any cost, but not win at any cost. And I'll tell you this, I would rather lose and do right than win and do wrong. This whole sermon is not about what I'm saying right now. I'm getting ready to talk to you about winning. But I think there are some very bad attitudes about winning, and I think there are some bad approaches to winning. For instance, I don't think you ought to win and want to win at doing wrong things. And, you know, there are people out there that will go somewhere and they'll have a beer drinking contest and they want to win. I think they ought to want to lose at that. I don't think they ought to participate in it. I don't think there ought to be a competition out there to capture people's purity or virginity. And there are people out there that do that sort of a thing. And I don't think we ought to win at sinful things. And I don't think we ought to win at evil things. But then I think this, I think that you ought to continue to be a good Christian when you lose. I didn't say you have to like losing. I said you need to learn how to behave like a Christian when you do lose. I think people that are satisfied with losses are prone to more losses. There's some wrong attitudes. I hate that attitude that when I win, everyone I conquer, they're trash and they're unnecessary. That's not true. That's not true at all. Now, don't treat the ones that maybe you have victory over. You don't treat them like nobodies. There's a lot of pride in that. I think you ought to be a winner for God and not for yourself. And after you win, after you conquer, after you achieve, there ought to be a humility that helps you to realize if you did succeed, you didn't do it in your own power. You use God's air. You use God's earth. You use the food that God gave you to have the power, to have the victory, and there ought to be a humility in it. But I happen to believe that if we are going to be like Jesus, he was not a loser. He was not a loser at all. I call the sermon Having a Winner's Attitude. If you look and listen, I'm going to talk to you about some of the attitudes that I think winners have. For instance, I think you need to work on developing a winning attitude. Romans 8:37 says we are more than conquerors. It didn't just say we are conquerors. It said that we are more than. There's nothing wrong with people wanting to succeed. There's nothing wrong with people wanting to achieve. That's one of the dangers of socialism. Socialism will take from achievers and give to non-achievers. I'm going to tell you something. It won't be long until the achievers won't want to achieve anymore. You have to be rewarded for doing good and rewarded for doing right. It's just a proper concept. But folks, we need to develop a winning attitude. Attitude makes the difference. And what are we talking about? A little bit, we're talking about your way of thinking. Part of winning, part of succeeding is your attitude. Attitude affects your drive. Attitude affects your determination. There's nothing wrong with people wanting to succeed and striving to succeed. And so, you've got to develop a proper attitude about succeeding or about winning. Now, I'll tell you this then. I think that if we want to succeed, if we want to win, then you practice to win. You practice to win. If we were talking about sports, I'll tell you something. When somebody's on a field of play, if they are practicing to win, they're more apt to perform and win. And so, if I were you, I'd take your practicing pretty seriously. Can I say something to everybody in here that participates in our special music program? If you goof off in practice, you're late for practice, you don't practice like you're supposed to, you miss half the practices, you will fail when you perform. And we can tell the groups that have people that play at practice time. Because if you play at practice time, you end up messing up at performance time. That's the way it always is. And so what I'm trying to tell you is you're going to perform the way you practice. Practice hard, you'll play hard. Hey, work at it in preparation well, and you will end up doing well. I'll tell you all something. I've never had the privilege of being in our military, but I will promise you something. When someone's at boot camp, they are told, you better take this seriously. This is not a war game. You better learn because your life is going to be on the line. And one of these days, you're going to look back to what we taught you, the basics in boot camp, and it will either make you or break you, and it could cost you your life. And who wants to be in a foxhole with somebody in basic that was just goofing off through basic? You want to be in that foxhole with somebody that was paying attention to what was going on. Why? We're playing for keeps. This is a real deal. So, develop a winning attitude. If you'll practice hard, you're going to perform well. That's a part of winning. Not only that, you're just going to have to face something, folks. Winners give more than losers. Winners give more than losers. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, thine of the Lord is the victory. There's victory in God. Listen, again, if we were on a field of play, winners are usually the ones that gave of themselves the most. And you say, well, I don't like that. It doesn't matter whether we like it or not. That's reality. You give more in practice, then you give more in your preparation, you stand a better chance of winning. If you were running the 100-mile, if you were running a 100-yard dash, I'll promise you the guy that gave the most at practice has stretched himself and pushed himself. He's more apt to win in performance. Why? Because he gave more. He gave more. I think winners give more in attitude. I think winners give more in time. I think winners give more in their money and in their energy. Have you ever heard anyone say, give until it hurts? You want to succeed in life, you push yourself until it hurts. Pain is merely weakness leaving the body. You know what you do? Pain pushes you beyond you. And I'm just telling you, anybody here that's ever been involved in anything, boy, when it gets tough, that's when you're stretching yourself. That's when you are pushing yourself beyond your norm. And most people, your norm will not cause victory. It'll be when you go beyond your norm. So, you develop a winning attitude. You practice to win. Winners have, you got to face something. You want to be a winner. You just give more time. That's all there is to it. You want to win against the devil in building a Sunday school class. You'll just have to give more time to it. That's all there is to it. One thing I've learned, I'm not a talented person. I don't have talent. There's some people that are just naturally good at all sorts of stuff. I'm not naturally good at anything, but I can get up in the morning. I mean, if somebody's getting up at 6, I'm probably going to need to get up at 4 because I'm not a natural producer. And I'm willing to play when I'm sick. I'm willing to play when I'm tired. I'm willing to play when it's hard. You say, why? Because I'm not gonna win anything based on just plain old-fashioned every day just, you know, try to hang in there a little bit and make something happen. It's not going to happen for me. So listen, folks, winners have to work at this thing. Let me go on. Winners are not looking for excuses. I don't think winners make a bunch of excuses. They're not looking for excuses. They're looking for solutions. They're not blame casters. They're problem solvers. Winners are not looking to justify their losses, but to turn their losses into victories. Winners search for what's wrong with themselves. They don't hide from their weaknesses. Then they find their weaknesses and attack them. That is if you want to be a winner. If you're always fussing when weaknesses are being brought to your attention, you're probably never going to conquer those weaknesses. You're too busy justifying where you're at. So I happen to think that winners are not making up excuses. They're searching for solutions. Let me go on. Winners don't take shortcuts. Winners don't take shortcuts. Winners are not looking for the easy way, but they're looking for the right way. Winners want to pay the full price to win. Winners don't just want a first place trophy. They want to be what winners are. And so you know, we're not talking about what you're going to get out of winning. That's not even the issue. We're talking about what you become because of it. That's what God's looking for. So I don't think winners are shortcut takers. If you're always looking for the easy way and always looking for the shortcut, you may have some wins, but you will not become a winner in life. Because winners have paid the price to get where they're going. Not only that, number 7, winners play hurt. Winners play hurt. Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, They beat me with the whip. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going any further. Well, you have nails to take in your hands and in your feet. You've got a spear that's going to be driven into your side. You have vinegar to drink. He didn't say, they pulled my hair. They pulled my hair. Okay, Dad, get me out of here. No, he played hurt. He played hurt. Isaiah 25:8 says, he will swallow up death in victory. Folks, just so you know, no pain, no gain.
That's
the way it is. Winners are not whiners. Man, in child rearing, I think if I wrote a book on child rearing, I think I would name it, Don't Rear a Whiner. Hey, winners are not the kind who look for reasons to call in sick. They crawl in sick. And I'm just telling you what winners are. You say, preacher, what would happen if we went to war in this day and age? You better hope that it's a technology war.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yep.
Because I'm not real sure how we'll win a war when our 17, 18, and 19-year-old boys spend their entire day doing this. They don't have the strength to take out the trash. They're not required any duties. They're twerpy, sissy wimps. And I've got other words. I can't use them. Winners play hurt. I got to move on. Winners have a winning plan and they follow it. Jesus had a plan. God had a plan. There's a reason why he wins. He's got a book. The book tells him how to succeed. He follows the book exactly. Winners are they're going to be organized people sooner or later. They have to be. If you're not a good organizer, you better find an organizer to help you to win. It's going to take some organization. So you know, winning is not all hype. Sooner or later, the hype wears off, and you better have a plan. Winners plan, and they prepare, and losers just lose. That's the way it is. I'm going to keep moving. That's because we're not halfway through yet. Number 9, winners study winners. Winners study winners. Jesus is a winner. I'd study him. The Bible says in Revelation 6:2, speaking of him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Listen, if I were going to battle, I'd try to figure out what Gideon did. If I were going to battle, I'd find out what Joshua did. I think if I wanted to do something, if I wanted to do something great for God, I'd find out what Charles Haddon Spurgeon did. I'd find out what J. Frank Norris did. I'd find out what Jack Hiles did. I'd figure out how they did that. And I'm just going to tell y'all something. If you want to win, it might be a good idea to study winners. Study success. I would study finishers, not quitters. Young people, I was talking to someone the other day in my hallway, and we were talking about young married couples, and not about anybody in particular. And this person said, I wish young married couples would seek more advice. I said, but you know what they do? They'll have issues in their marriage, and they'll seek advice from another young married couple. Can I tell you something? They've not succeeded, really, not yet. You might want to find someone that's been around and been married a while and been through it a while, but I would be careful. Hey, teenager, you want to succeed as a teenager? I probably wouldn't be seeking advice from another 14-year-old. You want to be a winner, you got to study winners. Number 10, I've learned that winners are usually self-motivated. Self-motivated. If you ever studied a basketball player like a Michael Jordan, who is one of the greats in history, may go down in history as the greatest basketball player ever. But I will tell you this, he didn't only practice when the team practiced. Winners, they enjoy encouragement and challenge, but if they don't get it, they'll do it themselves. They push themselves. You say, I want to succeed in my ministry here at the church, but there's nobody to go along with me. And do it by yourself. Or do you not want it that bad? You don't have to have somebody hold your hand all the time. There are just some things that ought to be done. I think winners, they learn to self-motivate. Most winners are not clock watchers. The winners at work are not the ones that show up 30 seconds before time to clock in. And the winners at work are not the ones that have one foot in the door when it's time to close down shop. Those aren't the winners. Those aren't the winners. There's a little more that goes into it than that. When I was playing athletics in high school, man, there are guys that come on the field at the last minute. We were already, bunch of us, we were already warmed up. And I wonder how many times the coach said, "Okay, fellas, hit the locker room," and I stayed and shot foul shots for 30 minutes afterwards. Why? Because I wanted to keep a 70% success record at the foul line, which is a pretty high record at 7 out of 10. But I didn't get that at practice. I got that before practice and after practice. If I wanted to be like everybody else, we'd just do it at practice. And that is so true about just everything in life. You take the person running the business, believe me, they're burning some midnight oil. They're not putting in minimum. There's more to it than that. And so, I say to you, winners have to get some motivation about themselves. I got to move on. Winning becomes a habit. I think winning has a bit of a habitual tendency to it. Victory becomes habitual. Hey, I'll tell you this also. I think losing becomes habitual. I really do. I think somebody, they learn how to succeed. They learn how to have victory. And suddenly, they keep repeating what they're doing. And it becomes habitual. But I've watched people, I've watched losers just habitually lose. They didn't have to, but they are. It becomes a habit in life. I have a question for you. Which habit have you developed? Are you developing a habit of being victorious? Or are you developing a habit of losing? Not being victorious, being conquered. Let me go on. I think winners are not quitters. Winners are not quitters. Psalm 98:1, it's speaking of the Lord. It says, "His holy arm hath gotten him the victory." You have got to learn not to be a quitter. Have you ever heard the old terminology, knocked down but not knocked out? Let me tell you something, folks. If you get knocked down, just get back up. Get back up. And don't put on a show. I coach baseball, I coach basketball, I coach soccer. Nothing bothers me more than somebody that wants attention that's not even realistic attention when they're down. Boy gets slide tackled in soccer, and he's out there. And you ever watch him? They're out there, oh, 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 and everybody's on the edge of their seat. And then suddenly he jumps up and he's okay. And I'm thinking, you liar. You weren't hurt. All you wanted was attention. Look, if you're hurt, fine. But if you're not, what's this everybody look at me and feel sorry for me and then you suddenly are healed? You watch it all the time. Bunch of showboats. If I were you, I just if you get knocked down, get back up. I think winners... I believe that they're not quitters. Quitters are a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. Hey, I learned this a long, long time ago. I learned that if you'll just hang in there, a lot of times you don't even have to be good at what you do. You just got to outlast all the other knuckleheads. Right. Hey, in this day and age, you don't have to last long.
That's right.
But you can get overnight seniority at most places. Why? People don't last. They do not last anymore. I mean, the top guy on the totem pole seniority-wise got 21 weeks in. Can you make it 22? Just the way it is. Winners aren't quitters. Let me move on. Number 13. Winners analyze their wins and they analyze their losses. Matthew 20:20, speaking of Jesus, it says, "There was judgment unto victory." Hey, look, if you win... If you succeed, ask yourself what you did to succeed. Jot it down. Try it again. If you lose or you don't succeed, analyze it. Jot down what didn't work. And maybe you shouldn't do that one again. Study yourself. Study your wins. Study your losses. I wish I had time. I'd like to bring in all the great coaches in athletics, and I'd like to talk to you about the great generals through the years, and I'll promise you they all have books of strategy. They know what worked and what didn't work, and what they tried and how they failed, and they say, that's a dumb thing to do. Let's not do that again. I think Christianity is far easier than what we make it. If you go through a day and you say, wow, this has been one of the best days I've ever had for the Lord, get out a piece of paper, write down what you did, and do it tomorrow. You say, this has been the crummiest week of my life. You might want to take a look at why. Amen. You lied to your husband. You lied to your mom. You lied to the Lord. You stole from your boss. You know, it might be all those things are why it was a bad week. But winners analyze wins and losses. Not only that. Winners associate with winners. They just do. Winners in life, basically, they follow winners, not losers. You young people, look up this way and let me teach you something. You want to succeed in your Christian life? Don't follow the losers in the youth department. Those of you that want to succeed at work, And I'm talking about you succeeding and making more money, getting promotion. If you follow the losers at work, then you're going to become like the losers. I was counseling a woman, and she said, I wasn't succeeding. My marriage was not good. So she reached out to a man who had a mess in his marriage and started a relationship with him thinking she was going to find some prosperity in that. Well, that's brilliant. You want to win, you get around success. You want to be successful in your Christian life, then get around successful Christians. So, I think part of it is winners associate with winners. Let me tell you what I've said so far. You develop a winning attitude. You practice to win. Winners end up giving more than losers. Winners are not making up excuses. They don't take shortcuts. They play hurt. They have a plan. They study winners. They motivate themselves. They figure out that winning becomes a habit. They're not quitters. They analyze their wins and losses. They associate with winners. I've got a few more points and we're done and we'll be on our way. I think winners are people who fulfill their potential by beating themselves. By beating themselves. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 says, O grave, where is thy victory? Can I tell you something? Jesus, he overcame death. Jesus was a winner. There's no doubt about that. Folks, your chances of winning are dependent on you pushing yourself, not necessarily pushing your opponent. Can I tell you something? If you give your best, that's all you can do. So if I were you, and you say, is this all about competing with others? No, the Bible talks about our comparing ourselves among ourselves and that not being wise. Oh no. I'm not saying do just enough to beat the other guy. You got your hands full beating you. You. You give all of you. Now maybe all of you is not exactly equal to me giving all of me, but I am a winner if I have given everything I can give. I'm a winner if I've done my best. Some people think they're a winner just because they beat the other guy. Well, look, if you could throw a 100-mile fastball and the guy you're competing with only throws a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, so you only throw 91 because you wanted to beat him, I guess you're cheating yourself, aren't you? Right. You should have been striving to throw that 100-mile fastball because that was your potential. So don't be satisfied with just coming out on top. Be satisfied when you awaken his likeness. Be satisfied when you give your all. You're doing your best. So I think winners are people who are fulfilling their potential. Once you've given your best and you've done what you can, look, to me, that's winning. If you want a participation award, then let's get it for someone giving everything they have. But in our society, you get a participation award whether you gave your best or not. All you had to do is show up. Always be growing yourself. I'm almost done. I think if you want to be a winner, you need to behave like a winner. I think you ought to dress like a winner, not a loser. You ought to walk like a winner, not a loser. You ought to talk like a winner, not a loser. You ought to respond like a winner, not a loser. You ought to have the discipline of a winner, not a loser. You ought to have the character and the dignity of a winner. Why? Those are winner attributes, winner characteristics. So I think if you want to be a winner, then act like one. Behave like one. And then finally, I think winners win most things a little at a time. If you're playing football, you win a quarter at a time. If you're playing baseball, you win an inning at a time. If you're at work, you're winning a paycheck, if you will. You're winning a day at a time. Maybe at church, it's a Sunday at a time. Whatever it is, if you're a boxer, you're winning one round at a time. Folks, what you do is you realize that weeks are made up of days, and days are made up of hours, and hours are made up of minutes. You say, I'd really like to have a successful life. I tell you how you get a successful life. You live successful decades, and then you live successful years, but you do that by living successful months, and you do that by living successful weeks, and you do that by living successful days, and you do that by living successful hours. And if you really want to succeed, you'll stop wasting minutes, and everybody in here could get everything done they need to get done, but you waste the minutes of your life. Success comes in little pieces, not big chunks. You just have to succeed at the little pieces. Okay, now, this is my last point. I've learned that winners don't let one loss cause another. Winners don't let one loss cause another. Hey, don't let a loss steal your winning attitude. You say, I was trying to have a big day in my Sunday school class, or I was trying to have a big day in my ministry, or I was trying to have a big day on my bus route, and it just everything fell apart. Okay, that's one day. You got 51 other days. But I've watched people take a hit, and now they're going to live with the pain of the hit and not do anything. A winner lets that motivate them. Let a loss humble you, but not cripple you. Let a loss motivate your attitude, not massacre it. You say, preacher, I got knocked down. Well, get up. Look. You have a chance to bounce. The harder you hit the ground, the more apt you are to bounce higher. Try a Super Bowl. Drop a Super Bowl, gentle. How high is it going to go when it bounces? Not very high. Throw that thing hard. You got a real potential. Don't let losses steal your winning attitude. I'm finished. But I think we in Christianity need to have a winning attitude. I want to tell you something. I get a little fearful of the leadership in our country. All the passiveness. I'm not a warmonger. I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to war, I think we better go win.
Yes, sir.
If not, somebody will win against us. And we'll be sorry. Thank God for those generations that understood that victory is something that God intended. And God never lost anything. Jesus never lost anything. And you're going to have some victories and get some crowns. And when we get to heaven, you can throw those crowns at His feet. There will be no participation certificates passed out so everybody can throw something. Now, I think especially very young people get a participation certificate. I don't know. It's sinful. But I am telling you that there is a lack of drive, tenacity, and purpose for victory in people today. And that is hurting the fiber of our nation and our churches. Let's succeed for God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I realize there were 18 points to the sermon, but it is exactly the same time I try to get us out of here any given Sunday night. I hope you've listened. I wish I could have spoken about every one of those points for 25 minutes. I can't. Some of you, I really believe this, there are some of you, you need to get that CD, you need to outline it, you need to post it in your Bible and glance at those things, because I've taught you some basic principles and attitudes about winning. You could take that to a company, you could take that to a corporation, you could take that to a ball team, you could take that to people that want to succeed in life and live those principles, and you'll see far more success. Now remember, it's not success at any cost. I don't believe that. I don't think you ought to lie. I don't think you ought to cheat. I don't think you ought to be abusive toward people. I think you ought to give your best and then let God do the rest. But I do think we ought to want victory, because God told us to go get victory in life. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. You come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. A challenge. Are you striving to win in your Christian life? Now, some of you, your behavior, you're behaving like a loser. You're behaving like a loser. And it's going to catch up to you. But who here would say, "Preacher, I need to give a little more attention to striving for success, striving to win the battle in life and the battle in the Christian life"? Who here would raise your hand and say, I need some of that challenge"? God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. At work, there's some of you, you can succeed. You practice some of these principles, they will help you. At church, practice some of these principles, they will help you. We're going to have an altar call. If you need to come up here and get on your knees and say, "Lord, I just want victory. Help me to have proper victory in my Christian life." If you need the altar, I want you to come. Rachel, if you begin to play, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? If you do, you come. Hey, in your relationship, sometimes you got to play hurt. You say, "I want to succeed more in my Christian life." Well, let me tell you something then. You may have to get started a little earlier and put a little more into it. You got to stop making up all the excuses. Say, "I think I'm failing some at my ministry." Well, how hard are you practicing? How hard are you preparing? You know, I never preach a sermon for the first time in the pulpit. Every sermon I've ever preached is preached privately, completely all the way through in my office before it is presented publicly. Completely. 100%. Why? I don't come out here and just hope it turns out. Winners study winners. Some of you study all sorts of weird people in Christianity, so-called. You're going to find out. You study all those weirdos, you're not going to be a winner. You want to do something good for God, you better study the people that did something good for God. It's time for some of you to motivate yourself a little bit more. If mommy and daddy don't get you up in the morning, get yourself up. Let winning become a habit. One more time through this song, if you will, please. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. Winners get around winners. Rachel, one more time, if you will. One more time. Victory is ours through the Lord. And remember, you're not going to win everything every time. But we can be far more victorious. We're all sinners. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But there's a whole lot more victory available than some of us are enjoying.